listen to the game. Get on it. We're going to have it for you. 7:45 pregame, 8 o'clock tip. That's a huge game. And that's a tough turnaround for Kansas. Let me pull that up really quick, because that is some crazy turnaround. So they play Iowa State at Iowa State at 11 o'clock. On Saturday, they just got done playing K-State. I don't see, they didn't put the date. It had to have been Tuesday. I'm assuming, it could have been Monday too, Monday or Tuesday. But think of that. So you had K-State. So they this is what they're coming off of. They're coming off of Kentucky, K-State, Iowa State, Texas. That's a four game place, and that's a crazy schedule. And the Big 12 is that tough. 7-2 Texas, 6-3 Kansas, 6-3 K State, 6-3 TCU, and 6-3 Iowa State. Iowa State's beaten TCU and's beaten Kansas State, but hasn't beaten Kansas. They beat Texas. So the ones above them, they've beat Baylor. That loss to Texas Tech, it means something, you know, and that's too bad. It's going to be interesting. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think Jazz is going to play. I think he's going to be more involved in their warmups and all that. I don't think he's going to play at Kansas. I think there might be a good chance that he could play at West Virginia maybe. And then that Oklahoma State game, I'm guaranteeing you right now that Iowa State is circling that Oklahoma State game, because they know that they shouldn't have lost that game and just didn't play very well after some big games. I mean, that was after their just losing to Kansas and beating Texas, and they had to go right in and play Oklahoma State. But they bounced back. Now they've lost two in a row, and they have to figure that out. I also watched Missouri again the other night. Missouri's a really good basketball team. I don't know how good they were in the beginning of the year, but I'm watching Missouri now, and they have four or five people on their team that's hard to guard, and that's everywhere. So that's going to be really exciting. I can't wait until I get it. I have an 11 o'clock game is cool. I think Hilton will be crazy. It's been cold outside. There's been people. I don't know if they've been camping out all the time, but they got tents up there. It's going to be loud. I mean, really loud. So, and it's a big time game, because it's on ESPN. So I think you're going to have a crazy weekend with just a whole. I mean, it's unbelievable how many good games there are on this weekend. And I think Texas Tech Baylor, that game's at Baylor. I think if that game was at Texas Tech, I think Texas Tech's going to get on a roll. I'm just saying. You have a Tennessee Auburn game. You have Purdue, Indiana, Alabama, LSU, Texas, K-State. Texas has to go to K-State before they have to play. They have to play Kansas on Monday. You also have Gonzaga, St. Mary's. There's just a lot of good college basketball games coming up. I saw this one today. I was going to use it for potpourri, but I think I got enough that I can get away. When you're talking about watching commentary on the NFL, and it is, I mean, I thought that it used to matter more. I thought it was more of the game, but I think that with the, and I'm not sure what it's called anymore, but when you can, it used to be, oh my gosh, when you could watch all the games, it just keeps playing the games over and over. I mean, they're just showing all the games, and they go in and they look at all the different games. For my sons, who are 22, 24, and 27, that's the way they like to watch football. and they like watching football with a betting app in front of them. I didn't grow up watching football that way, but I'm starting to enjoy it more, and it enhances it. But it is so getting back. I went a little off topic. I'm sorry. I'm still a little verklempt about that. It's been 2 years since I came back in here. Tony Romo. Tony Romo 2 years ago was, one, untouchable; two, had the biggest contract; and three, most beloved TV commentator I think was out there. And I must be missing something because I think he's still good, but I've understanding that CBS has had talks to him about some of the stuff that he was saying and some of the ways he was doing, and it didn't seem like he was having the same energy. And does he have other things? I mean, the contract he signed was pretty big, not as big as what Tom Brady's getting ready to sign. And you have no idea in the world if Tom Brady's going to be any good at that. I mean, I don't think Tom Brady's bad at anything, but he also hasn't spent a lot of time standing in front of a bunch of people or being in front of a bunch of people talking about stuff. He doesn't do a ton of interviews. You know, when he does, they're very, you know, precise, and he's not going to say anything. Well, you can't do that when you're calling these football games. And as much as I want to hear Tom Brady do it, I don't want to lose Greg Olsen from doing it either, because I thought Greg Olsen has done a really good job. But for me, growing up, it's always been about the commentators. It was almost like the game was secondary, and it started with Howard Cosell and Frank Gifford and all of those guys, Dan Dierdorf, all of them. That was must-see TV. Dandy Don Meredith. You never knew what they were going to say. You never had any idea what Howard Cosell was going to say. You watched it. Then it moved on to Chris Collinsworth and to all these guys, and they've been so good. And it just seems that this next generation, or generation after that, where my kids are, it's turned into the NFL ticket. That's what I was trying to think of. See, it came to me that time. It was like the NFL ticket. So you got to see bits and pieces of every game instead of just watching one game. Unless now they do I have two TVs, three if I need to, down so I can watch both games. And if I wanted to watch NFL ticket, I mean, I have the other one on my phone, and I'm just watching from my phone, or I have my computer on so I can see yardage and stuff because of fantasy football. But fantasy football's over. Another thing that has changed the NFL is fantasy football. The amount of money gambled legally is really big, and the amount of money gambled illegally on fantasy football is really big. So football is king. But I didn't think that Tony Romo, I mean, it's to a point where I think like if you read through some of the stuff, like 3 months ago, they might have been close to just letting him go. And I think a couple of it is he has other interests out there in his life now. He's an avid golfer. He wants to do that stuff. He doesn't have time to do it during the football season. I just thought that was really, it was really weird. Just so we get this through. My next segment, I'm going to talk about some NBA stuff, and the majority of it, what I'm going to talk about is LeBron James. He's going to pass Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I'll give you my thoughts on that. My thoughts on where he's going to be in the scope of greatest of all time, the GOAT. I'm probably going to be yelled at by my kids by what I'm going to say, but I think I've turned a corner a little bit, so maybe they won't be so angry with me. And I think that's really important that they do that. Now, we still have a couple of jobs open in the NFL. The Indianapolis job is still open. I pulled that up before, and I have it right here. Give me just a second. So the Arizona Cardinals is still open. The Indianapolis Colts are still open. And maybe that's it. Maybe there's just two. That could be. Arizona's struggling. And I don't know. I did not think that Cliff Kingsbury was a very good coach. And I put more on the blame on him than Kyler Murray. But it sounds like in the NFL inner circle that more of the blame went on Kyler Murray, because there's not a lot of coaches that are stepping up saying, I want to work with Kyler Murray. Now, he's also going to be out at least half the season because he's recovering from a torn ACL. And I'll tell you what, I would take Kyler Murray over 12 to 14 other quarterbacks. I don't know what all the hatreds were. Now, if maybe he just needs to be coached. People saying, well, he needs to do more study time. He needs to do more film time. Well, that means that you have a coach that makes sure that's happening. And I don't think that he had that. And Cliff Kingsbury wanted to go home and sit in his pad, man. His pad was pretty cool. The Indianapolis Colts job, people in the NFL probably aren't going to like this, and maybe people out there aren't going to like this. I think Jeff Saturday is going to get that job, but he's going to have more control over the job he had because he didn't have control over any of his staff or any of that because he just came in and did that. Do I think that Jeff Saturday deserves a second chance because his record wasn't very good? The Indianapolis Colts weren't very good. They weren't coached very well. I think Frank Wright is a really good coach. I just think that he had checked out. He had done everything that he could do trying to find the quarterback and doing all that. And if you're looking at what people think of Coach Frank Wright, now he's Coach Frank Wright of the Carolina Panthers. So it matters. If you talk to the team, I don't think the team was disappointed in Jeff Saturday. I think pundits were disappointed with Jeff Saturday, and I don't think Jeff Saturday cares what the pundits think. That's an interesting one. The Arizona Cardinals, oh, man. I mean, I think that they're going to have to... Man, if Scott was here, he's going to kill me for this next statement. Because, man, I just knocked him over the head a few times with this. I'm not sure someone like a Brian Flores might not be good for Kyler Murray. I also think Brian Callahan, who's the Bengals offensive coordinator, would be good for Kyler Murray. I also think and this goes against everything that I believe in, but I'm looking at no matter what side of the ball they coach, someone needs to come in and mentor this young man. Kyler Murray has talent. I mean, for someone his size and what he can do, you forget the plays he can make. I look at Brian Flores, I look at Aaron Glenn, Vance Joseph, another one. He's a builder of men. I said the reason DeMarco Ryans was a great hire for the Houston Texans is because they have to start over. They have to find a whole new culture, a whole new everything. They have to wash away the Deshaun Watson. They have to wash away what they've been the last 3 or 4 years. And they needed a strong-willed educator, football coach, mentor, father figure, all of those. And DeMarco Ryans is that. He is amazingly that. And when you have, I mean, just if, and I don't mind that. I'm not saying that you can never hire a defensive coordinator to be your head coach, but it can't be an unknown defensive coordinator. It can't be a safeties coach that's coming from a team. It's not enough. You have to know you. That's what a lot of these hires have failed, because you hire people to come in and they don't know how to run an organization. I don't know how good of a football coach Jeff Saturday is, but I know what kind of human he is, and I know what his values are, and I know that he can build the team because he was part of building a team. That just wasn't Peyton Manning's Indianapolis Colts team. That was Peyton Manning, Jeff Saturday. There was a lot of people involved in what made that team click. And having somebody like Tony Dungy there to make things like that click, it matters. So I think that's what the Arizona Cardinals have to be looking at. The Indianapolis Colts, I just, you know, here's my other thought process too. And this has to do with Eric Bieniemy. And when you talk about Eric Bieniemy and you talk about it in the open, people have nothing but just beautiful things to say about Eric Bieniemy. And don't tell me it's all Andy Reid, because I listen to Patrick Mahomes. I listen to Travis Kelce. I listen to people around Kansas City. It's not just Andy Reid. Andy Reid doesn't spend a lot of time during the game sitting and talking with Patrick Mahomes. Eric Bieniemy does. Do I think Eric Bieniemy can be a leader of men? I do. I still think there's things in his past that people are worried about, and I don't know what that is because I'm not privy to it, but it's just weird that he hasn't gotten an opportunity. And it's also weird because I don't know if he wants an opportunity. I mean, the Chicago Bears took somebody that was four rungs down from Eric Bieniemy that had no idea in the world what he was doing, and they thought that was going to be a really good thing because he was an Andy Reid disciple. Well, that didn't work out. Eric Bieniemy would work out, but he's got to be in that right place. Here's the other one. And the other one, his name is Rich Bisaccia. He was the Packers special teams coach, but he was the Las Vegas Raiders special teams coach, and then he was their head coach after all hell broke loose. And he did a great job, and I think the Raiders haven't recovered from not having him on the field. And I'm a fan of Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels isn't easy to play for. He's definitely not easy to play for on the offensive side of the ball. But, I mean, there's some people. Aaron Glenn's another one. Mike Kafka from the Giants, what he did with Daniel Jones. He's proven that he can go and get work with a quarterback. Maybe he makes Kyler Murray better. I don't know. It's going to be interesting because these are the last two, and these are big hires for organizations that need to turn the corner and get back to where they used to be. And you have to understand, it has to be more than just he was a defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator here. There's more to it. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Some NBA talk, some LeBron James talk coming up next.
Here's a look at traffic. The conversation on Twitter at Steen on Sports 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Once again, happy Friday. I'm glad Friday's here. You are listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM 1700 The Champ AM. Oh, that's a good idea here. Hold on just a second. Hey, B, how are you?
Doing good.
We are live on the air, and I apologize. I was doing something during the break, and I'm glad you called in. Thank you very much. Let me finish my spiel here. See, that's how good a guest I have, folks. They know when I've messed up, and it's Friday, and I've been all over the place. Facebook's at 1700champ, website 1700champ.com. Remember, Saturday, Northern Iowa versus Bradley. 4:30 pregame. This segment is going to be brought to you by Palmer Group. Palmer Group is an employee-owned company providing employment services since 1998. Finding a job has always been challenging, but in 2023 is now even more daunting. Palmer Group was founded to change the dynamic and focus on both the clients and the candidates to make lives better. The company's motto of getting candidates and companies on the same page to make things happen has never been more important or challenging. Currently, over 334 jobs are open on their website at thepalmergroup.com. Jobs in accounting and finance, admin and customer service, manufacturing, information technology, and mortgage banking keep both the staff and candidates very busy. Check out the website and find out what Palmer Group can do for you. Once again, we now have B Styles on because he's saving my show. He is at the B Styles on Twitter. B, I was reminiscing with some people because two years ago today, I started back in radio again after all the COVID stuff. So, and you've been a very big part of that. So welcome in, and how are you?
Well, first of all, it's good to be with you again because it's been a while since we weren't able to talk last week. But I just got to say, I'm doing better than I think like about 200 people in Champaign, Illinois might be doing right now.
Wow, that was a bad look, wasn't it? I mean, it's crazy. It's
oh, yeah, it's a horrible look. It's a horrible look. And, you know, it's one of those things. First of all, I've always been of the camp that their whole thing, I don't have a problem. I never had a problem with them doing any games. I was just never into the whole spiel of, oh, let's go in wearing the other team's colors and then do a reveal right at tip-off. It's like, just if you're going to go, just go. You know? Like, I've walked into, quote-unquote, opposing stadiums before wearing the other team's colors. And, you know, you might get a good ribbing back and forth, but nobody's like, no one's going to threaten your life or anything like that. Like, I don't think anybody would be, like, at Carver Hawkeye Arena tomorrow is going to, like, you might get a frown or something, but, like, no one's going to, like, call you something derogatory or threaten your life or any sort of way if you happen to be wearing orange and blue at Carver tomorrow. You know, and I would imagine, like, I'm sure next week, you know, Iowa comes up here to play Minnesota. I'm sure that I'll hear the "Who hates Iowa, we hate Iowa" chant from the Gopher fans, but, like, you know, it is what it is. That's part of it. But at the same time, like, I'm not expecting anybody to, like, do anything serious just because, oh, hey, I may not be rooting for your team. Like, just go. But back to the whole story. To me, what I feel like pretty much happened here is you pose as a charity, and naturally Iowa's reaction was, well, okay, we got the Boys and Girls Club coming to our game on Saturday. Let's do something to make this day memorable for those kids. You call that charity up, you find out, oh, hey, it doesn't exist. There's the problem, you know? If they had just gone to the game, like, it would have been stupid if Iowa just were like, oh, we're going to just turn this down just because we know you're in our student section. Like, okay, but if they had gone just saying who they were as Orange Crush, but the fact that they posed as the Boys and Girls Club and then got caught doing it, it makes you wonder how they've done it all these other years that they've been able to do these trips.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't look good, and I agree with you. And,
I ultimately feel like it takes away, in a sense, from some people might say it will ignite it. I think it kind of takes away from what's going to be happening tomorrow, because that's a huge basketball game for both teams. You got this huge, like, little quagmire, if you will, of 6 and 5 teams in the Big Ten that are trying to get that last double bye at the moment. And it's amazing. Like, one game between, like, fourth place and then playing on that Wednesday in the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, you can move both ways.
Being in a position where you're either, or you could either be on the bubble or one bad loss, then suddenly you're on the outside looking in. So, as far as the game itself goes, look, as you know, and as I've been saying, as long as Iowa's able to handle its business at home, it should be fine as far as making the tournament's concerned. Illinois is a good basketball team, but this is a very winnable game. I would say the same thing about this being a winnable game for Illinois, but it's definitely a winnable game for Iowa since it is at Carver. And it's not as if Illinois is like Purdue, who they're going to be playing next week in West Lafayette. Like, that's a game I would not forecast the Hawkeyes to win, you know, going into it. But as far as tomorrow's game is concerned, yeah, it's a very winnable game. And if Iowa is able to pull it off, that's 3 straight wins all at home this week against 3 pretty good teams. That would give them some sort of momentum going into Mackey Arena next Thursday.
You see, it's no different than it is. And once again, we're talking to Brendan Stiles. He's at DB Stiles on Twitter. It's no different than we said in football, too. All you have to do is win your home games and then play your game and win some road games, and you're going to be perfectly fine. And that's the same thing that's going to happen with playing basketball. The only difference is the one thing that is the constant that they have to play defense. The other stuff works its
absolutely
way out, but if they let easy shots and they don't make teams work for their points, they're not winning those games.
Absolutely, and I would just say real quick, too, that's a pretty big day tomorrow for the state of Iowa between the Hawkeyes having that game against Illinois and your Cyclones playing Kansas at Hilton. Having those games back-to-back, that should be a lot of fun. And then throw on their Purdue, Indiana, and UNC Duke. That's going to be quite the day of hoops tomorrow.
Have you ever seen ESPN not go wall-to-wall advertising for UNC Duke? I mean, they're doing some advertising, but, man, it's not like the past.
Well, I can think of two reasons why. One, Mike Krzyzewski's not there anymore. And two, North Carolina won the ultimate game that pretty much matters in that rivalry, at least for the time being.
Right. That's true. But that it's just crazy. I mean, that used to be, you know, ESPN put everything on those games.
Then again, and I'll give you a segue here, they had dodgeball overlapping the start of the Iowa women's game last night.
Incredible. Incredible. I want your take on that. I spent a little bit of the 440 segment talking about what Caitlin Clark's done in her last three games.
Yep.
When you go 30-10-10, 30-10-10, 42-9-9 against really good basketball teams in your conference, I don't know how to explain how good she is, B.
I know LSU is a really good player too, and Angel Reese, but I don't see how Caitlin Clark isn't the player of the year in women's basketball this year.
Yeah.
And, like, I know there was an argument for her last year going early at Boston, which, okay, South Carolina ended up winning a national championship. I get that. But you just said it with what Caitlin's been able to do. And I feel like the Big Ten's better this year than it was a year ago. You see all these teams that they're playing. They're playing a gauntlet in the non-conference that I actually think – even though they lost some of those games like the Connecticut and the North Carolina State, I feel like that's really helped them as far as going through this grind in the Big Ten right now, because you see them going to Ohio State, they find a way to win that game against the Buckeyes. You see them going up against a team like Maryland, who's been a powerhouse in the Brenner Freeze, and they find a way to win that game. I know they got a big game coming up in Indiana here real soon. They've been really good. Actually, I think they play them twice. And they'll have another trip in Maryland later in the year. That gauntlet that they went through and those lumps that they took early in the season, I think, are paying off for them now. And I think that's something that, with this kind of growth, that could be what allows them to make an even deeper run than what they thought they were going to be able to do a year ago.
Yeah, Hannah Stolke is kind of the difference maker right mm-hmm. now. Against a really yep. athletic couple of gals from Maryland last night, beating them down the floor and getting passes from Caitlin Clark, that's only going to mm-hmm. get better. But, you know, as the year progresses, so.
Right, and then also Monica Sinano. I mean, you think about the role that she's played. I feel like she's elevated her game as well.
Yeah. It's getting to be must-see TV, B. Really, it is.
Absolutely. And contrary to what some guy down that used to work for ESPN, and I don't even remember where he works now, but contrary to what he says, yeah, I would agree with you.
It's redonkulous what he's saying. I mean, they are – what did they say? They had 14,000. They've had, this is their seventh game of having mm-hmm. more than 10,000 fans. They're sold out for the Indiana game, 15,000
yeah.
plus.
That's great.
There's some men's teams out there that would take that kind of attendance. Trust me.
Absolutely. They would love to have a spotlight on a player like you have the spotlight on Caitlin Clark right now.
Yeah. Once again, we're talking to Brendan Styles. He's at DB Styles on Twitter. Your thoughts, LeBron James is in the next two games is going to break Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's scoring record for the NBA.
I don't know if it happens in the next two. I think it's probably in the next three.
You get three.
And I think that would actually be fitting, because it would be coming against Milwaukee, which was the team Kareem originally played for before he went to the Lakers. If you want something to go full circle, I think that would be quite appropriate. But I've always been one to say that Michael Jordan's a very small time. That's never going to change for me. But what LeBron's done, it is incredible. Yes. I will say that. I'm not going to, dismiss any of his accomplishments, because he is an all-time great, and you see the impact that he's had on the game, both on the floor and off the floor. And, look, I know the Lakers aren't a playoff team this year by any stretch of the imagination, but you see that he's at his age, and the fact that he's in his 20th year, he's still able to go in there night in and night out and do what he does. It's truly phenomenal. And I think it's one of those things where it's just like anything else, where when you have history being made, it's like you just want to be there for that moment, and you want to see that moment happen. And, well, I think he's definitely worthy of holding that record that's been held by Kareem for such a long time. And I think it speaks to his longevity and the fact that he's been able to take care of his body as well as he has. in addition to being able to be as gifted as he's been on the floor. And, you know, it's a real testament to everything that he's done through the game of basketball, not just at the NBA level, but really at all levels, even like with kids, and just the impact that he's had on them as well.
Yeah, and I think that's what sets Michael and LeBron. I mean, when you look in the NBA, there's teams that are wearing Michael Jordan's gear. That's how you know how big you are. This is how I always put it, B, is I think that LeBron James is the most talented player physically that I've ever seen. Yep. I think Michael Jordan is the best player the NBA's had. And I think Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is the best player. If you take high school, college, and the pros, he's the best player. Yeah, he's the best player ever because they changed the game in high school and in college to hinder him, and it still didn't hinder him.
You know, I'll just say one other thing real quick because you touched on how people are still wearing Jordan stuff and how he's still a transcendent figure even though he hasn't played in the NBA in over 20 years. But you look at somebody like LeBron James, I think he's going to be similar in that regard where he gets to, you know, 20 years from now, he's in his late 50s, early 60s, and I think you're still going to be seeing kids out there wearing his gear from Nike and seeing, like, his impact's going to continue to go well beyond the game and well beyond his playing career, without a doubt.
Yeah, I totally agree with that as well. Leading up to the Super Bowl, your thoughts on the two games this past weekend to get us to Kansas City, Philadelphia?
Well, it was a shame what happened to Brock because I thought that was going to be a better game than it ended up being, but I'm not surprised that Philadelphia won. The Eagles, like, you just see their strengths are where you want to be strong as a football team.
Yes.
You know, and that's not to take anything away from Jalen Hurts, but you consider how dominant their O-line is, how dominant their D-line is, and that really just – that's where everything's – the tone is set for them. And then on top of that, they have two gifted wide receivers. They have a running back who's getting better as time emerges. They have a solid secondary. They're strong in all the areas that you need to have strength, and I think that that's part of the reason why you've seen Nick Sirianni have this type of success. Now, granted, they did have a favorable schedule, and I told you coming into the season, I thought that they would at the very least win the NFC East and possibly be in a position to get like a one or two seed. They ended up going a little bit better than I thought and getting a one. But, you know, hey, they played a dominant game. They've been dominant so far in these playoffs, and I'll say this, if they are able to beat Kansas City here on Super Bowl Sunday, I don't know if we're going to talk about them as an all-time great team, but they're going to absolutely be in that conversation. And then as far as the Chiefs go, that was a thrilling win for them over Cincinnati. And there was a point in that game, you're thinking when Burrows has the ball laid up, that
done.
He converts that 3rd and 16, Chiefs are done. But then they managed to get the stops, that they forced the punt, and then obviously everybody saw how that game ended. And I think it just speaks to just how incredible, we were just talking about LeBron, I think it speaks to how incredible Patrick Mahomes is at this stage of his career where he's only been a starter for 5 years. He's already gotten the Chiefs to a Super Bowl a third time. There's only one other guy that's, you know, had that kind of immediate success, and he just retired the other day. So, I'm not saying Mahomes is going 7, but he's at this point in time, he's on that a similar trajectory that Brady was on.
Yeah, I agree with that, and sad to see Tom go. I hope Tom is going, and I think he really is. So,
I think he is too.
Thanks for calling in.
Absolutely,
you are the best. And we'll
for
talk.
Sure,
next
we'll talk
week.
More Super Bowl next week.
Absolutely. Have a great one. Have a good weekend, buddy. Thank goodness for B that remembering what to do on my show. Holy cow! What a ding dong I am. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day, right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk to Real Sports Fans.
Live from the capital city, it's Steen on Sports, 1700 The Champ, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Last segment on this Friday, last segment of this week. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day, right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook is at 1700 The Champ, and the website 1700thechamp.com. This weekend, we have Northern Iowa versus Bradley 4:30 pregame. Sunday is the NFL Pro Bowl games, flag, I don't know what they're going to do. 2 o'clock start. Just listen. See what happens. Next Monday, Texas at Kansas. Huge game. That's some back-to-back-to-back games for those two teams on who they've had to play. It's going to be amazing what they have left. That is in Kansas. Texas going to Kansas in that game. This segment, last segment of the day, is going to be brought to you by DeMoss, Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. Three locations, 6001 Westtown Parkway, West Des Moines, 1301 Penn Avenue, Suite 213, Des Moines, 350 Northeast 36th Street in Ankeny, Iowa. Services include foot, ankle, hand therapy, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, sports med, sports rehab, trauma, and urgent injury. DeMoss Urgent Injury Clinics are at both the Ankeny and West Des Moines locations. No appointment needed. Look up wait times online at DeMoss.com. Hours in West Des Moines are Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Friday, Saturday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. Ankeny is Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. The difference between urgent care and emergency rooms is the severity of the health problem. If the condition is life-threatening, please go to the emergency room. If you have something that you have, your children are out and got hurt over the weekend playing in a sport, or you were out mowing or pulling weeds or golfing or any of that, go to DeMoss. They are equipped to take care of you. New to DeMoss is Engineered Performance by DeMoss, world-class sports rehab and performance training center in Central Iowa, 1711 Southwest Plaza Parkway, top-notch in Ankeny, Iowa. If you want to get the sports rehab to get back from injury, or you want to take a step up in your performance training, that is the place that you need to be. Des Moines Orthopedic. Want to thank all of our sponsors: Northwest Bank, Woodman Controls, Des Moines Orthopedic, Heritage Building Maintenance, and Palmer Group for being a part of the program. A little bit of potpourri. Big Ten Saturday night, so live game on the evening. I think it's a 7 o'clock kick time. They have Catherine Tappan, Noah Eagle, love Noah Eagle, and they have Todd Blackledge, who I think is one of the top college football announcers, is jumping over to NBC. And I'm assuming those games, it's NBC, it's Peacock. You get both. It depends on where you're at. I think that's going to be really interesting. This is a really fun thing. It was Don Kleiman. I really like following Don Kleiman. It is putting Tom Brady's career in perspective. If you just take periods of his career, it matches other Hall of Famers. So in the one, it is Tom Brady in his Troy Aikman phase, from 2000 to 2006. He won 5 division titles. Troy Aikman won 6. Super Bowl titles, 3 each. Super Bowl MVP, 2 for Tom Brady, 1 for Troy Aikman. The Tom Brady Dan Marino stage, that was 2007 through 2013. Division titles, Tom 6, Dan Marino 5. Super Bowl appearances, 2-1. Regular season MVP, 2-1. Passing touchdown leader, Dan Marino was actually ahead, 3-2. The Tom Brady Joe Montana phase, which was 2014 to 2022, Super Bowl titles, 4 each. Super Bowl MVPs, 3 each. Regular season MVPs, 1 for Tom Brady, 2 for Joe Montana. Passing touchdown leaders, 2-2. And his whole Super Bowl career, Tom Brady was 7-3, 303 yards per game, 21 touchdowns, 6 picks. Montana was 4-0, 285 and 11-0. One of the greatest things of Joe Montana, zero interceptions. Peyton Manning and John Elway, Peyton was 2-2, Elway was 2-3, 250, 225, 3 touchdowns and 5 picks for Peyton, 3 touchdowns, 8 picks for John Elway. Tom Brady transcended time, folks. It is crazy. This is the reason why I was so high on D'Amico Ryans. This was talking to NFL Network on the challenges ahead. He goes, I understand the history, and I understand what has happened over the last few years. I see this as an awesome opportunity. It's not about what happened in the past. It's what I can do in the future for these young men. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. It's the reason that It's the reason that I thought it was a good hire for that young team. I thought Lovie Smith gave some of those same things, but he just it's too much for Lovie Smith. It's too much too late in his career to have to keep starting over. D'Amico's gonna have a really good chance. Bets odds on Kyrie's next team. The Los Angeles Lakers are +125. The Miami Heat are +275. The Dallas Mavericks are +375. The Clippers are +400. The Bulls are +700. The Hawks are +1,000. Utah is +1,000. And the Timberwolves are +1,400. How did they come up with these teams? I do believe those are the only teams that have the proper things to that could probably make that work. Kyrie Irving as just a basketball player is unbelievable. He does things that only a handful of people can do in the NBA. But there's baggage that comes along with that. The Lakers could probably handle that. The Heat can probably handle that. The Mavs can handle that, even though I don't think that's up Mark Cuban's alley anymore. You know, the Clippers, I mean, if the Clippers get Kyrie Irving, that sets up that rivalry with the Lakers again. I don't see that with the Bulls. I don't see it with the Hawks. What good does having Kyrie Irving and Trae Young do? And you're not trading Trae Young. You can't. Kyrie Irving's not going to go to the Utah Jazz, and Kyrie Irving's not going to go to the Minnesota Timberwolves. So those two teams, I'm not sure he would go to the Bulls as well. I mean, he would go to Los Angeles. I think he'd go to Dallas. I think he would go to Miami, and I think he would go to the Lakers. And even Miami might be pushing it. So it's going to be interesting. Giannis and LeBron have picked their teams for All-Star Weekend, which is February 19th. Giannis picked Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Nikolai Jokic, Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, Zion Williamson, Bam Adebayo, Jaylen Brown, and DeMar DeRozan. Team LeBron is Joel Embiid, Paul George, Shai Alexander, Tyrese Halliburton, Drew Holiday, Jaren Jackson Jr., Damian Lillard, Lauri Markkanen, Ja Morant, Julius Randle, and Domantas Sabonis. There's some good players, some good young players, some good older players. It should be a very exciting NBA game. This was an interesting one because this was like in my 20s. And I remember watching all three of these players, and I loved watching all three of them play basketball. Who would you pick as your number one to build your team around? Derrick Rose. Remember, this is healthy and playing at their peak. Tracy McGrady, Penny Hardaway, or Derrick Rose? Holy cow. I probably would take Tracy McGrady first just because of his overall athletic ability. I might take Derrick Rose above Penny Hardaway, Anfernee Hardaway, but man, it's close. All three of them are so close. That is a great one. Injuries hurt all three of them, but in their prime playing well, man. And then here's the next one that came. You know, this is the time of year that you know you get to do these things. Which Hall of Fame quarterback has to go? Two have to go. You have Peyton Manning, Joe Montana, Dan Marino, and Brett Favre. Part of it's easy. I think I could let Brett Favre go when I'm talking about those three. Dan Marino staying just because of how good a quarterback he is. I can't believe I'm going to say this. I might let Peyton Manning go. It'd either be Peyton Manning or Dan Marino. It's Brett Favre and either Peyton Manning or Dan Marino. I think Joe Montana has to stay just because of his winning. Brett Favre definitely goes. Brett Favre just doesn't fit in that category right there. Let's see here. The last thing of the NCAA tournament after their loss at Texas Tech, Iowa State was still on the four line. So that is interesting. I thought they would drop below that. And this is, I've now seen Iowa State opened as a 1.5 point favorite. Now I think Kansas is a 1.5 point favorite. We'll see what happens. Thank you very much for listening this week, all throughout the week. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day, right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports fans. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the Pro Bowl, I think. We'll be back strong on Monday. See you then.